Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How is everyone?
Good.
It's good to see all of you. Man, wasn't worship awesome? I tell you, just being in God's presence and lifting Him up, I tell you, my perspective always changes when I get a glimpse of who our God is and what He wants to do, and I hope yours does as well. I'm really excited to bring the Word. You can't orchestrate this kind of stuff. And I'm just excited. I'm expectant. But I do want to just encourage us. We have our VBS event. I was going to call it a camp this week. And the kids are going to have fun. It's going to be cute. They're going to have a good time. But I believe, and I'm just asking our body to pray for our VBS this week, because I can't tell you how many people that I know today that they say, I encountered God at a youth camp, or I encountered God at a VBS camp, and they always will go back to that moment. And every year we have kids that give their hearts to the Lord, and some of them we will see every week, some of them we might not see ever. It might be in eternity when we see them again, but I know the seeds that were planted and the life change and the choice that they will make at VBS will be eternally altering, period. And so I'm just asking that we would pray that... Yeah, the fun, we need to pray for safety, we need to pray for fun, but we need to pray that the Lord would encounter our kids and their friends, and so I'm just excited for that, so be praying with us. But I just to jump right in, we have been in a series called A Fit Soul, and so I wore my tennis shoes because we're talking about fitness, and I just really wanted to be comfortable. And I hope you've enjoyed it, and we've spent probably the last 7 weeks just talking about what it means to be fit from the inside out. I'm not going to talk about physical fitness, but I think we all know and we all have tried our best to be on a journey of health from the inside out. And I know from the talking about physical fitness, how many of you know it is a lifestyle? I know too many people that do the 21-day, the 10-day, the 5-day, and it's like they live like, well, I'm going to try this next. And in order to maintain physical health, you have to make it part of who you are, right? It does no good to, hey, I'm going to do good for 30 days and then, I'm going to go crazy and just eat lots of hot dogs and hamburgers and just go nuts, because you will go back to square one, right? And I'm preaching to the choir, and we're all going, yeah, I know, I'm bringing it up, I'm sorry. But much the same in our spiritual health. When I'm talking about soul health, we can't just go through a 5-week, a 6-week, an 8-week series, even a 12-week series, and then be like, we're good, and for the rest of our lives, we're good to go. How many of you know that maintaining a healthy soul is a lifestyle? Forgiveness sometimes can be a decision that you have to make on the daily, right? Every single day you may have to choose to walk in love. Every single day you may have to choose to walk in forgiveness. We can't just say, well, I went through the forgiveness thing once. Well, unfortunately, life happens. And things arise. And so it's so important that we are trying to maintain a lifestyle of being healthy from the inside out. As a parent, you have to choose peace every time your kids wake up for the morning. Amen, parents? You have to choose it. And then 5 minutes after they wake up, you have to choose peace again. We can't just say, well, I'm going to walk in peace, because you are going to have opportunities to not walk in peace. And so it's so vital. And so I hope over this series that you've learned some of these things. And we've talked about, decluttering our lives and walking in peace and forgiveness, that you will continue to take these things and make them a part of your life. Because here's the truth. In John 10:10, one of my favorite scriptures, Jesus says this. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Okay, I love how the Passion Translation says it. The Passion Translation says it this way. He says, a thief has only one thing on his mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. Period. Okay? The enemy and the enemy of your soul, the distraction, the anxiety, the depression, the busyness. Busyness does not want to make your life better. Busyness wants to steal from your life. Okay? Anxiety didn't come to make you a better human. Anxiety came to make you walk in the flesh. Okay? Depression's goal isn't to make you feel joyful and happy. Okay? Depression is a very spiritual thing, and it can be a chemical as well, but the goal of depression is to ruin your life. Okay, we know that, probably preaching to the choir this morning. But Jesus says this, but I have come to give you, say everything. Everything. I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Okay, look at that line, until you overflow. How many of you know that is God's heart for your life? God's heart is that you would more than overflow in every single area of your life. He didn't come, he didn't die on the cross just so we would get by. I know too many Christians that are like, you know, and I get it, there's times where I feel like I'm just barely cutting the mustard, but Jesus did not come for a wimpy church. Jesus did not come for wimpy Christians. He came that you and I would walk in the abundance of life that he has to offer. Okay? The full, when we read resurrection life and resurrection power, how many of you know that is the same definition? It's like dynamite. If we truly tap into what resurrection life means, we can change not just our family, but I believe that we can change the course of this nation and the course of eternity by tapping into the resurrection life that Jesus already paid for. Come on.
Amen.
The life that Jesus came to give, he died so that life could be fully yours. Come on, fully yours. The definition, more abundantly, when you look up more abundant or more abundantly in Scripture, it literally means this. It says to have a super abundance of a thing. Okay, how many of you want super abundance of the life that Jesus has to offer? Come on. Super abundance. It also means this. It means large quantities. You know what? I want to experience large quantities of his grace. I want to experience large quantities of his faithfulness. It means this. It means plentiful. Okay? Abundant life, it refers to this. It refers to life abounding in its fullness, joy, and strength for mind, soul, and spirit. Listen, abundant life has come so that you and I can live a life that is truly victorious. Okay, that is more than you expect. Here's the truth about abundant life, though, is you and I will choose what we make in abundance in our life. Right? You can have more abundant life in Jesus, and I encourage you, if you don't walk in abundance in him, I encourage you to start today and learn what resurrection life means. But I know a lot of people that have a super abundance of stress in their life. Right, I can choose to have super abundance and more abundant stress, depression. How about pain? I know a lot of people that have an abundance of pain in their life. And it makes me say, that is not how Jesus wants you to live. He did not come so that your pain would just be more and more painful and more frequent. I know a lot of people that walk in super abundance of bitterness. Right, how's that work, right? We learned a couple weeks ago, it doesn't work very well when you walk in unforgiveness. And in fact, if you walk in unforgiveness, we know that our physical body will begin to be affected by what's going on the inside. So we can either choose to, we're going to walk in super abundance of something, right? Either it's abundant life or it's pick your pain, right? I hope that we walk in abundant life. The thing is, we choose. I love this scripture in Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. It says this. And this is one of the apostles writing. He says this, I pray that he, God, would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor. How many of you want to experience that in your lives? Right? Unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, in verse 17, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Listen, I don't want my anxiety. I don't want my depression. I don't want my busyness. I don't want my problems to be the source and the root of my life. I want the abundant life that Jesus has to be the source and to be the root and to be the thing that is overflowing out of my life. In verse 18, it says, then you will be empowered to discover the what every holy one experiences in great magnitude of an astonishing love of Christ in all his dimensions. Listen, I want to know Jesus, not just know of him. I want to know him, and I want to know him deeply. Goes on, and it says, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. We experienced that this morning. How enduring, how inclusive his love is. His endless love is beyond measurement. That transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you. And this is the last thing. I want you to get this morning. So lean in. Until his love pours into you, until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Listen, his desire for your life is that you would be filled to overflowing. So I have a problem with that this morning, and I'm preaching it. And here's the problem I have, and I think many people struggle with this concept because we can say, well, Jesus wants you to be in the overflow, and till you're just poured over. And that sounds good, doesn't it? No, doesn't sound good. I think it sounds good, right? To live in the overflow of what he has for you. But here's the problem. You and I, we've lived for so long with our unhealthy lives, right? We've lived with our pain. We've lived with our unforgiveness. We've struggled through life, right? We go on. And so when we come and when we read scriptures like that, we say, well, that must be nice. Maybe someday I can live in the overflow. Come on. Right? Well, maybe that's for Pastor Justin and the worship team to live in the overflow. But man, I'm just trying to like make it through the next day. Anyone there? And so, but when we read these scriptures, we have to realize that that is his desire for us. And so though it may feel so far off, like, oh man, that must be nice. Maybe in heaven I'll experience the overflow. No, his desire is that you walk in the overflow now. In today. So what do we do with that? Because some of you are going, well, I'm just surviving, Pastor. I'm just making it through. And I hear you, right? Me too. There's certain days where I'm just like, I look in the mirror and I don't feel very, very victorious, right? I don't sound very victorious. I don't move very victorious, right? I don't walk in everything God has me to walk in. But here's what I know, is that in a moment's notice, Jesus can come on the scene in your life. Okay, I was reading this week and thinking about the story of the man who was at the pool of Bethesda, right? Remember that? Where the man every day, he had some ailment, I think he was crippled, and people would literally bring him to the pool and they would put him in the water, and every day he did that for his life because he, it's going to heal him. And can you imagine doing that year after year after year and nothing? I mean, how discouraging would that be? I'd be like, just leave me in the water and just let me, this is over with. Every day he did that. But one day, what happened? In a moment's notice, Jesus showed up, and that man never had to go to that pool again. In a moment's notice, everything he'd done for his whole life is now different because Jesus came on the scene. I want to tell you this morning that your day of that can be today. Your day of healing, your day of redemption, your day of restoration can be done today, because I believe Jesus wants to show up. Here's what I got to realize, that the things that I struggle with, the things that you struggle with in your life, those daily struggles are not who you are. Okay, your struggle does not define you. Okay, we even talk about our soul, right? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. How many of you know that your mind, your will, and your emotions do not define who you are? Okay, you have a soul, you are not a soul. Okay, your mind, your will, and your emotions, you are more than those three things. Okay, your soul is something you possess. It's something God created us with. But who we are, our identity, right, our DNA, our spirit is what what we're supposed to be defined by as Christians. When we give our hearts to the Lord, we say, Holy Spirit, come inside of me, fill this void, and we are now defined what He says about us, what He thinks about us, what He has planned for us. Okay, we got to realize that our spirit is who we are supposed to be, that we are led by the Spirit. Okay, this means this, that our soul then has to line up with our spirit. Okay, this is pretty real stuff. Because I know what my mind wants to do. I know what my emotions want to do. I know what my will wants to do. But there's some times that I got to put those things in check. You know what I'm saying? I got to tell my emotions, you know what? You're not going to feel this way. You know what? This is not the truth. And you need to submit. You need to obey. Right? I have this battle with myself all the time. Okay, but unfortunately, part of the problem is that our body wants to rule, doesn't it? Our flesh wants to rule. Our soul. How many of you have struggled with your emotions wanting to rule your life? What you think wanting to rule your life. Okay, that's the problem. We were never meant to be people who are led by our bodies or led by what we feel by our soul, mind, will, and our emotions. We are created to be led by the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. That's it. So, my question is, what voices are shaping you? What voices are shaping you? Because we know this. We know that we're supposed to be led by the Spirit, but then our flesh comes in and does whatever it wants. So what voices are shaping you? You're like, well, you know, because we could talk about, you know, the spouse, or we could talk about the friends that are bad influence. We could talk about the movies, all those things. Well, I need to stop doing this. But here's the biggest problem. And Paul David Tripp says it this way. He says, no one is more influential in your life than you, because no one talks to you more than you do. Funny, the truth is this morning we all talk to ourselves. Right? Hopefully, maybe not in public, that you might get some weird looks, but we all talk to ourselves. And when I say, what voices are you listening to, that's a real question. Because what voices, probably your own, are you listening to in your life? What are you saying about you? What are you thinking about you? Because the truth of the matter is, in the difficult moments of your life, in the difficult moments of your day, in the difficult seasons that you find yourself in, how do you talk to yourself? When things are just not good and hitting the fan, what kind of things are you saying? And here's what I know. If you want to maintain a healthy soul, there's some times that you got to put those thoughts and you got to put those emotions right where they came from. If they're not of God, you know, there's no cute way to do it other than putting your soul in submission to what your spirit wants to do and wants to think and wants to say and how to act and how to behave. Right? There is a time to pray about it, but you know what? Then there's a time that you just got to say, soul, you will submit to God's will for my life. Okay? There's a time that you got to, I say it this way, I say, you got to slap your soul into shape. Right? You got to be like, soul, you will praise the Lord. How about this morning? You know, I don't feel like praising God. Well, guess what, soul? Emotions, you will praise God because He's worthy to be praised. Mind, my mind's on 100 different things. You know what, mind? You will praise God because He is worthy of it all. And He is faithful and He is good. So there's a time that you gotta take your soul and you gotta put it in its right place. You gotta say, soul, you will submit. And the question is, what's your response when you're faced with this dilemma, right? What's the dilemma? The dilemma is when your soul wants to lead, when your emotions want to take the lead. What is your response? Because if you don't have a response as a Christian, if you don't know how you're going to act, well, guess what you're going to do? You're going to do whatever you feel like doing. You're going to do whatever you're used to doing. And so what is your response to that dilemma? And that's what I want to focus on today. Is what is your response? Because I believe that God has a response for us. Because He wants us to live as people who bless Him, as my title's called. So I want to read Psalms 103 this morning. This is David, one of my favorites, one of the heroes. I don't know how many sermons have been preached about David the king, you know, who killed the lion, killed the bear, killed the giant. did a lot of crazy bad things, but God still said, you're a man after my heart. So this is David, and I want to read this scripture. This is in Psalms 103, and it says this. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Remember, O my mind, O my will, O my emotions. Okay, this soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives your iniquity, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I will bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord, O my soul. So what does that mean? Because I believe this, when we go through life, we've got to make sure that we are constantly keeping our souls in right alignment, like I said. So this scripture, I believe, has at least three keys that I want to talk about that I hope encourage you this morning. My first key is this, is number one, to bless the Lord. David says, bless the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Is that just a cute Christianese saying? Well, maybe it's that, right? But it's so much more. What does it mean to bless the Lord? Because if we understand what David was doing, this is not like right before he was going to fight the giant. And like, all right, bless the Lord, I really need you to come through. This wasn't before the lion. This is after he's king. This is after the giant. This is after the lion. This is after the sin. He fell in adultery and murdered a guy. I mean, just like makes me look real good, right? I think, man, I'm glad we're not comparing sins because David's might be way worse. So this is after all that. And I believe David was in a season of his life that was kind of dry. Have you experienced that? He was kind of going, is this all there is? Like, I've done this. I did all these great things. He had kids trying to take his throne and all sorts of crazy stuff. You thought your family was dysfunctional. This is pretty dysfunctional. So he's crying out in the midst of all these things where he's dry. How about divided? He's probably saying, I've served you, God, but my flesh feels pretty good. I've done all these things for you. So he's kind of in this season. We got to put ourselves in his shoes for a little bit. But he's saying these big sayings, I will bless the Lord. Well, what does it mean? The word Lord is not just a religious word. The word Lord has everything to do with who's in control of your life. Okay? Lord, lordship, it has everything to do with who is in control. Okay, it means this. It means someone or something that has power, authority, or influence over your life. So my question is, what has influence over your life? What is Lord over your life? What has power over your life? Does your stress, does your anxiety have power? Is it Lord over your life? Or is Jesus Lord over your life? Okay, it speaks of lordship. Who's in control? I say it this way. Who sits in the driver's seat of your heart? Is it God on Sundays from 9 to hopefully 11 or 9:30, whatever it is? Or is it anxiety? Is it fear? Is it distraction? Is it confusion? What is rulership? What is being Lord over your life? Yeah, I think that's what David was saying. He was saying, I will bless the Lord, meaning I will bless the one who's in control. I will bless the one who sees it all. I will bless the one who has my best interest at mind. Okay, the scripture in Isaiah 46:10, it says this. It says, only I, and this is God talking, it says, only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Okay, that is who we're giving lordship over to in our lives. The one who sees the picture. How many of you know that God sees the whole piece of the puzzle? He doesn't just see the part that you're dealing with right now. And I believe that he wants to give you a glimpse of his heart this morning. Right? We can trust him because he sees it all. I don't know what is going on in your life right now, but I want to encourage you that Jesus sees the whole picture. And we can trust him with the affections of our heart. You know, I think a lot of times it's hard for us to worship because it's really an issue of control. It's like we were created to worship, amen? We were created to give something worship. And the question is, what will we give worship? What will we give our affection? What will we give our power to? So when you feel good, bless the Lord. When you feel unsure, bless the Lord. When you feel distracted, bless the Lord? When you feel like your life is falling apart, will you bless the Lord? Will you acknowledge that he is in control? The second thing I believe David was saying was this. He said, bless your holy name. Well, what does that mean? This is what I believe that means. Number two, bless his holy name. You know, it has everything to do with who God is to you. And I'm not meaning that in the sense of people like, oh, just pick your Jesus for the day. No, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about what name of God has become revelation to your heart. Okay? What name of God? If we look back over the Old Testament, names had a lot more significance than they do today. I hope you realize that. That back then when they did names, it wasn't like, well, what do you want to name our kid? You know, I don't know. How about Lamp? Let's name our kid Lamp, right? Some of these crazy names. That's the first thing I saw when I did this. But names in the Old Testament didn't just identify who you are, but they said a lot about your character. They said a lot about your nature. They said a lot about your destiny. And so when we look at God's names, we've got to realize that God wants to reveal himself to you in a personal way. It's not just a general, well, God, by bless your name, capital G-O-D, bless your name, God. No, I believe David was identifying with pieces of God's character when he said, bless your name. So my question is, what character names of God have been revealed to you in your heart? Because when David is saying this, I believe he's going back. And he's saying, I'm not just calling God, God, but he starts going over these names. Because I believe this, God wants to reveal his name to you today. Well, what do you mean? Well, let me tell you what I mean. The name Adonai. I believe David was saying, I will bless Adonai. I will bless my master. I will bless the one who knows it all. He says this, I will bless Jehovah Nissi, my banner. You know what a banner means? It means when you're in trouble and you were in a war and the banner was high up so you can rally around it. I will bless the one that I can rally around. David, I will bless Jehovah Ra. You're like, what? My shepherd. Come on, do you need to know the shepherding love of Jesus today? Do you need to call on the name of the shepherd to guide you? Do you feel lost this morning? I want to encourage you to call on the name of Jehovah Ra. Our shepherd. I believe David, when he says, I will bless the name of God, he says, I will bless the God that heals. How many of you need a healing in your life today? Then I want you, have you had an encounter with the God that heals? How about Jehovah Shammah? How many of you feel alone? How many of you need to know that God is right with you today? Because again, I believe that David's not just calling out to God, oh God. No, he's saying, I'm going to call on the name. The name of the God that is there. The name of the God that is my master. How about the God that provides? Do you need provision in your life? Then get acquainted with Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. How about righteousness? Jehovah Sitkanu. How about getting an encounter with Elkanah, the God who is jealous for your heart? Because again, David's not just calling out this, I bless the name of the Lord. No, I believe that there is a revelation that David had with the God that provides, with the God that is there, with the God that heals. How about Jehovah Mikadeshkim, the God that changes you, the God that sanctifies you? Do you need a revelation with that God this morning? Get acquainted with the God who can change your life and can change your heart. How about El Olam, the God that is everlasting. Do you need peace this morning? Then get acquainted with the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. Because David, again, David isn't just calling out generally. He had an encounter with each of these gods, and that's just part of the list. I didn't go through them all. But bless his holy name. The third thing I believe the scripture is telling us this, and I'll say it this way, don't forget what he's done. You want to have a healthy soul, then don't forget what he's done. Okay, don't forget his benefits. Listen, there's benefits. Okay, shameless plug. Maybe should be more shameful, but shameless plug. Our youth are doing a fundraiser for summer camp. And it's the coolest fundraiser I've ever seen. Because they're selling these Jersey Mike's cards. And I've eaten so much Jersey Mike's in the last month and a half. I might turn into a sub sandwich, but that's a different story. But for $25, you buy a card, and you can get, when every time for the next, well, almost, it was 3 months, but now it's through August, every time you buy a sub sandwich at Jersey Mike's in Covington or Maple Valley, you get a free one. And so I've been like, what's for dinner? We're going to Jersey Mike's, guys, because I can feed you all for the $10.86, plus, you know, plus tax. It's awesome, right? And but I forget I have this card. I'm going down the road. I'm like, what should I do? I'm like, I don't want to spend, you know, $30 on fast food. Don't forget the Benny's, Justin. I got the card that says I get to eat for 10 bucks and I can, you know, feed all my kids for 2 days. It's awesome. So get a card. Talk to Pastor Ryan. Shameless plug. But don't forget what God has done. I think so many times when we're faced with our situations, our problems, we easily forget God's faithfulness. We forget how he bailed us out. We forget the things that he's promised us, right? Sin, pain, sorrow. How many of you know those things want to come and blind you from what God's working power in your life? But David, I believe that he went back and he said, no, I'm going to remember. And if you read the whole chapter of Psalms 103, he goes back how God didn't forget about the Israelites when they were enslaved to Egypt. He remembered those times and he brought back to remembrance the things that God has done. And he goes on and he says different things. He says, hey, God's anger does not last forever. Hey, sin has been cast as far as the east is from the west. Hey, God's compassion will not fail. He goes on and says, my iniquities are healed. So I encourage you, if you want to have a healthy soul, do not forget what God has done. When you're talking to yourself, because we all do it, remind yourself, what has God done for you in Christ? Remind yourself of the specific things. Write them down if you have to. I remember when I was a young man, I used to write down and keep in my wallet what God wanted to do in my life at that moment. Why did I do that? Not because I was super spiritual. Because if I didn't write the written word down of God's promises, I would forget about them. I wouldn't believe them. When the enemy came knocking, I would just fold like a wet noodle. Right? So write those things down. You know, Colossians 3:16 says it this way. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I want to encourage you to write those promises down. To write down who God is. Because the enemy can tell you a lot of things, but the enemy cannot argue with the word of God. Worship team, would you come up this morning? I think there's only one way to respond to a message like this, and that's just to end in worship. Because we bless the Lord, oh my soul. Would you stand up with me this morning? Bless the Lord. Bless the one who's in control. Bless his holy name. What aspect of God's name do you need to have an encounter with this morning? And number three, don't forget what he's done. Steve, you can play. And then we're just going to sing, and that's all we got today, folks. Psalms 103, the very last says this, starting with verse 20. It says, so bless the Lord, all his messengers of power. For you are his mighty heroes who listen intently to the voice of his word to do it. Bless and praise the Lord, you mighty warriors. That's you. Ministers who serve him well and fulfill his desires. Make this your prayer today. I will bless and praise the Lord with my whole heart. Let all his works throughout the earth, wherever his dominion stretches, let everything bless the Lord. Come on, can you say that with me? Can you say that in your heart? Come on, I want to respond and just bless the Lord. I want to bless the Lord. I want to bless his name. And I don't want to forget what he's done. And so my prayer is, we're singing this song, that you would be reminded of the things that God has done in your heart. That you would be reminded of the promises. That you would be reminded of who God is. Because we forget that he's our healer. We forget that he's our provider. That we forget that he's the one that's in control. Come on, so close your eyes. I believe he wants to encounter us today. So Steve, would you just begin to sing? I just want a song of worship to rise out of your heart this morning. That you, even if you have to say so, you will praise the Lord. Come on, let's respond in worship to him today. Let's do it.
I lift my voice to sing of your goodness. I lift my voice to sing of your love. I lift my voice to sing hallelujah. Jesus, our Savior, you are worthy of it all. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. Jesus, our Savior, you are worthy of it all. I lift my hands because I'm forgiven. I lift my hands because I'm set free. I lift my hands, a sign of surrender. Jesus, our Savior, you are worthy of it all. I lift my eyes, I know you'll return, and you will reign in glory forever. You will reign in glory forever. You will reign in glory forever. Jesus, our Savior, worthy of it all.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all of his benefits, who forgives your iniquity, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. I will bless the Lord. Come on, will you bless the Lord? Come on, let's be a church that blesses the Lord, that blesses His name. Come on, let's sing this just one last time and then we'll go. Come on, let's give Him praise. Come on, give Him praise this morning.
We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. Jesus, our Savior, you are worthy of it all. One more time. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. Jesus, our Savior, you are worthy of it all.
Amen. So as we go out of here today, let's go out blessing the Lord. When we're faced and our soul wants to take control, bless His holy name. Don't forget what He's done. Amen? Amen. We're going to have a great week. Be praying for VBS. And we're just excited for what God's doing. You're released. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next time. You're released.